and Roland had invited her to tea at the castle. It was funny how in a couple of years he'd gone from a lumbering oaf into a young man, nervous when she smiled at him. He'd shyly presented her with a dictionary of amazingly uncommon words, and she'd found a bookmark in the P section and a pencil underline under the words plongeon, a small curtsy, no longer used, and she'd blushed. It's always surprising to be reminded that while you're watching people, all knowing and superior, they're watching you. She'd stopped wearing the hat, except in public, because it kept getting bent low by doorways. She was wearing it today, though, as she reached the place where four rusty iron wheels were half buried in the turf and a pot-bellied stove stood up from the grass. Silence spread out around her, a living silence, and the world turned. Why do you go away? So that you can come back. The words ran through her mind, and she found herself fill up with joy at the new lambs, at life, at everything. I've come back, she announced to the hills, better than I went. Then she snatched off the hat with stars on. It wasn't a bad hat for show, but it was never her hat. The only hat worth wearing was the one you made for yourself. Your own hat, for your own head. So she hurled the starry hat up as high as she could, and the wind there caught it neatly. It was lifted by a gust, and swooping and spinning, it sailed away across the downs and vanished forever. Then Tiffany made a hat out of the sky and sat on the old pot-bellied stove while the sun went down. And as the shadows lengthened, small shapes crept out of the nearby mound and joined her to watch. The sun set, which is everyday magic, and warm night came. The hat filled up with stars.